Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week over the station at this time, and I'm in a series of messages on the Gospel of John. Today we're going to go to John chapter 6, where we will consider the great discourse of our Lord Jesus on the bread of life. Let us pray. Father, we pray now that thy divine spirit will give illumination and wisdom and instruction to our hearts. For thy honor and thy glory's sake we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. For those of you coming in for the first time to listen to this radio program, let me give you just a little background of what we covered the last couple of weeks. I shared with you how Jesus fed 5,000 men and, of course, another 5,000 women or so and thousands of children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then I share with you how, following this miracle, Jesus tried to find rest. So he went into a mountain to pray, and he sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee in order for them also to get their rest. While the disciples were on the sea, a great storm arose. In the middle of the storm, while the disciples were halfway across the lake, they saw Jesus walking on water to meet them. He entered into the ship, and immediately the sea was calm, and the ship was on the other side of the lake. The next day in the morning, people were looking for Jesus and for his disciples, and they could find neither. And so many of them took ship in order to make their way to Capernaum to find Jesus there. And this gets us into our text for today, and instead of reading the whole text to you, at this point, I'm going to cover verse by verse, and we'll see how far we get. Let's begin with John 6:24. The Bible says, "When the people, therefore, saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." Now, I have 4 points I'd like to bring to your attention today, and this verse I just read to you gets us to point one. The first point of my message today is the danger of following Jesus without following Jesus. It says that the people, when they saw that Jesus was not there, that is at the place where he fed the 5,000, they took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for him. When Jesus began to do miracles, people began to follow him. Wherever he was, people would be on his heels to the extent that Jesus found it very difficult to rest. But the problem with the people was that they followed Jesus without following Jesus, that is to say, they followed him without obeying him. They followed him with their feet, but not with their hearts. And this is brought out in Matthew chapter 15, where Jesus actually quotes Isaiah the prophet by saying, "This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." Jesus never, except for the last few days of his life before the crucifixion, Jesus never lacked lip service. He never lacked people drawing nigh unto him. The problem he had is that he could not find very many people whose hearts were with them to the extent that they actually would obey him, deny self, walk with him, and become his disciples. The Amplified Bible reads like this in reference to Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts hold off and are far from me." The people, in other words, would not get their hearts into what Jesus was teaching them. And that was true then. It's also true today. Let me ask you, how many times did Jesus, for example, speak on prayer? And how much did he pray when he was on earth? And didn't he say, "My house shall of all nations be called a house of prayer"? But if you look around at churches, you find that most churches do not have a single full-fledged prayer meeting. Our problem is we talk a lot about God or about Jesus, but we don't spend much time talking with him. How can we as Christians really walk with God or with Jesus unless we commune with him? Doesn't the Apostle Paul say, "Pray without ceasing"? Wherever the Holy Spirit is working in believers' hearts, there is much prayer, much private prayer, much corporate prayer in the churches. So it was in the early church when the Holy Spirit was there in the very heart of every believer. There's many a person who pride themselves in saying, well, I've never missed a church service in 2 years, 20 or 40 years. Well, that's wonderful. But my friend, if you're not obeying Jesus, if you're not following him every day, if you're not in constant communion with him, you've worshipped him in vain. The scripture once again says, those people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and have honored me with their lips, but their hearts hold off and are far from me. Dear one, I trust that you become a follower of Jesus, even as the apostles were. So in John 6, verse 26, people found Jesus, and this is what Jesus said to them when they found him. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. We learn here that the people by now got used to the miracles. They were no longer amazed at the miracles. They wanted more than just miracles. Isn't that part of human nature? We always want more than what we've got. We want bigger cars, better homes, better furniture, more exciting vacations, and so on. The heart of man, until it is sanctified, is never content with what it has. So it says, Jesus said to them, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. The reason now why they followed Jesus is because they were hungry. And this hunger, my friend, was genuine. Scholars tell us, as we read the scriptures carefully, that this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 occurred just before the next harvest. In other words, they were running out of supplies. They were waiting for the new harvest to come, and they were truly hungry. Miracles now didn't matter anymore because they were hungry. They were filled, it says, but that was yesterday when they ate of Jesus' food. Now is today. They were hungry today. At this point, then Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto life everlasting, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. And this gets me to point two. Is the pursuit of earthly blessings encouraged? The answer is no. Jesus discouraged our pursuit after material things. He says, it is not good. Labor not for the meat that perishes. In other words, even when you're hungry, even when you're financially strapped, when you're physically weak, when you're sick, when you're without shelter, sleeping under a bridge, even when you're without clothing, at all times I want you to seek after spiritual things, to seek after fellowship with me more than anything else. What Jesus is saying here is, I want you to seek me first, to put me first, to love me first, and to worship me first and only. No matter what physical condition you're in, I want you to keep going after me, loving me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I at all times want you to put your spiritual hunger, your spiritual pursuit after me, after the bread which cometh down from heaven. And if you do that, my friend, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things will be added unto you. I'm looking for a generation of young people who, when they're 16 or 18 or 19, when asked, what do you plan to do with your life? That instead of them saying, I want to be a lawyer, an engineer, a nurse, or secretary, they'll say, I want to be a man, or I want to be a woman of God. I want to live the rest of my life hungering and thirsting after God. And whatever I do to get my salary, whether it's being a doctor, lawyer, nurse, or secretary, that's a sideline. It's a small sideline. It will never get in the way of my pursuit of knowing God and serving God. Because all of the things of the world, all these things will perish. Even our diplomas, our bank accounts, our earthly reputation will perish. And the only thing that will stand on Judgment Day is what we've done for Jesus. Now, let's get to point three, where it says in verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is a work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. This is possibly the best question the multitude ever asked Jesus. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And this brings me to my third point. What is the work of God? It's interesting that Jesus did not answer them in the plural, but in a singular. They said, what are the works of God? They thought about all kinds of things like feeding the poor, healing the sick, and going to foreign lands as missionaries, and so forth and so on. But Jesus answers them in the singular. He says, this is the work of God. He simplifies the answer. He says, there's only really one work of God, and all other works flow out of that. But there's only one true, mighty work of God with a capital W, and this is the work of God. It is that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Let me read this to you from the Amplified Bible. Jesus replied, this is a work or service that God seeks of you, that you believe in the one whom He has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in His messenger. This, my friend, is a work of God, that we will cleave to Jesus and totally rely upon Him all our lives. If we do that, my friend, then we are true followers of the Lord. Then let's go to our last point. It is that Jesus is the bread of life. Then the people said to Jesus, what sign shewest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? What the people said here is, basically, Jesus, if you want us to believe in you, to rely on you, to cleave to you, then show us a sign. Well, it sounds as if Jesus did not give them any sign, but you know, He just fed the 5,000, and He healed a nobleman's son, and so forth. He did all these miracles. So they said, we want you to do something bigger than that, more than that, for us to really cleave to you, rely on you, to believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, for you to be worthy of our trust. And then they said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. He gave them bread from heaven. So what they said here is that if you want us to totally rely on you, then you have to do a miracle that equals what Moses did in the desert. Or you have to exceed what Moses did in the desert in order for you to be worthy of a complete trust and confidence. And Moses did not just feed 5,000 people as you did for one time, but he fed a whole nation 40 consecutive years. Now, Jesus, if you can match that and do that, then we will believe in you, trust in you, and rely on you, and give our lives to you. And here, my friend, is Jesus' answer to their challenge. He says, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus, in essence, says here, I can match Moses in the desert. I can match what I did through Moses in the desert by feeding the whole nation physically for 40 years. Yea, I have something better now, something bigger now. I myself have now come down from heaven, and I am not only able to feed you every day for 40 years, but I am able to feed all the world forever. For I myself am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me will never hunger. I myself am the food for the whole world to eat. Oh, my friend, feast of me, partake of my life, partake of my power, and you shall be satisfied. Yes, indeed. Surely we can say at the end of this message that a greater than Moses was here, and he sits now at the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for us, that we also might come to him, believe in him, rely on him, even as the first apostles did by the Sea of Galilee. Our Father, we pray now that you will grant us thy Holy Spirit to be the possessor, the controller, and the director of our lives, of our affairs. Deliver us after this seeking after material things, but help us to seek thee, Lord Jesus, the bread of life, that we might be satisfied in our souls and our hearts, and that we might give thee preeminence in every aspect of our lives, and we give thee the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.